This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. I saw a recent Times of Israel article that the genocide scholars with the International Association of Genocide Scholars criticized their leadership for pushing through a resolution labeling Israel's actions in Gaza as a genocide. So apparently this was carried out without an open internal debate and with only one minority, with a minority of members voting. We wanted to understand what this all means. We're joined by Anne Hertzberg, legal advisor for NGO Monitor, an organization that closely examines the role and narratives of various human rights advocacy NGOs. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. And from your experience, what are the typical deliberative protocols within academic bodies like this before issuing such a serious resolution?
Yeah, so I mean, this instance is pretty typical of how the BDS movement operates and how they've managed to hijack a lot of the academic associations, where they essentially table these resolutions, these controversial resolutions, and they do so in a way where the full membership can't vote on it because, let's say, they'll schedule it at weird times, or they don't give a lot of advance notice that the vote is coming or this resolution is coming. And then they also try to squelch any type of debate on these resolutions. So this is a typical pattern that we've seen for many years in these associations, and the same thing happens here.
Right. So what weight, therefore, does it have? Does it carry?
Well, you know, I think if you look on, let's say, X this morning, it's pretty standard again. So all of the, you know, Israel haters in the, let's say, legal community or on social, the influencers who are very anti-Israel, of course, touting this resolution. Mm. You had the head of Amnesty International tweet out, "The overwhelming majority of genocide scholars have declared Gaza to be a genocide." So, of course, right. She's blatantly lying because it was about 20% of the association that actually voted. You know, and then that's not even looking at what was voted on. But again, it's just another data point that BDS campaign, the anti-Israel propagandists, will seize upon. And I'm sure, you know, our friends in the UN and the ICC will use this to further their aims. And that's essentially what it's used for, because, it's sort of giving a facade of some official pronouncement about what's going on.
So what's interesting is in some ways it disproves it. And what I'm saying by that is when we saw the photos of starving children, and it turned out that actually none of them that we were seeing, that the main media houses were using, were actually legitimate, it makes me think that, well, it certainly made me think, well, then there isn't starvation to this extent, because otherwise we'd see the photos. It's not difficult to see photos from parts of Africa where people genuinely are starving. There's thousands of photos for us to see. So if you can't show us a real photo, then maybe there isn't starvation. Now, if you can't pass or can't issue a finding in the normal course of how you would operate within the system, then surely that tells us that maybe the opposite of what you're saying is true.
Yeah, exactly, because they know that if it was done in a legitimate way, they would not win the vote. And that's really the MO of this whole war. They have to manufacture definitions. I mean, even before the war, this has been going on for years. We see with apartheid, they had to fake a definition of apartheid so Israel would fit into their definition. Starvation, they made up a definition of starvation. We saw the IPC changing its standards so they could, put a square peg into the round hole kind of thing, so that they can fit Israel in. And now again, this small radical minority of these academics, of which I don't even know, we don't even know their qualifications, the people who are a part of this association. I mean, I think if someone actually analyzed the people who voted for this and who are part of that association, I would question the extent to which many of them are actually genocide scholars. I think we would have to look at that quite carefully. But again, they're again making up a definition. And again, as we saw, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, they're all inventing a definition. They're erasing the central element of genocide, which is intent, to wipe out in whole or in part certain groups of people, which is absolutely not the case of what's going on here. So they have to erase that in order to achieve the goal that they want. And
So take
and
us
that's,
through that. Take us through that. How have they changed the definitions to fit the purpose?
So I mean, they're erasing the core element of intent, which means you, the reason why you are engaging in acts is under the definition, the reason why you engage in such acts is to kill members of and erase members of the group, a religious group, an ethnic group. So, and this is clear, let's say in Rwanda, the Houthis were trying to eliminate all of the Tutsis. World War II, the Nazis wanted to eliminate every Jew from the face of the earth. We saw that on October 7th, which, by the way, this association said nothing about. When Hamas came and they indiscriminately killed every Jew they could find. That's genocide. In this case, Israel's intent is to eliminate Hamas, a terrorist organization, from being able to perpetrate its murder and mayhem. And that's completely erased from what this group did. They assume ev they make they or they I mean, it's false. It's a falsification. It's a fraud, in my opinion. Claim that every they are making it seem as if every casualty is a civilian, when we know that's absolutely false. And the other thing they're trying to do is just conflate a war, which is very nasty and awful. And they're trying to just simply conflate war with genocide in our case, And so that and also they're doing a disservice to their field, because what they're doing is they're degrading the concept of genocide. So what is genocide? If it's just war, then what's the point of their association? Like there's a specific meaning to the concept. And really also what this is about is atrocity inversion, because they want to erase what happened to Israel and the Jews on October 7th. And what's been happening, that's the core element of the conflict from day one, is the fact they don't want Jews to be existing in their ancient homeland. They don't want us here. They want to erase us from the face of the earth and in the region. And so by doing this, they're engaging in atrocity aversion to cover up those facts.
It's so interesting because this is such a common theme. I was talking earlier, we were talking earlier about media in South Africa where somebody was removed from the SABC, which is the national broadcaster, because she just asked for clarity on this issue, and she was seen to be questioning this senior ANC person about this genocide or Holocaust, as she called it, and she was removed. And I'm challenging the South African National Editor Forum. I'm challenging those who believe in free speech. But the problem is, because it's this issue, they can't see the wood for the trees. And so media freedom in South Africa, journalistic integrity gets totally undermined. The notion in South Africa of what apartheid really was, the horror of apartheid, has been undermined by labeling anything you don't like apartheid. We see it again with genocide. We see it with genocide organizations. And there seems to be almost this acceptance that you can just destroy yourself and your own organization for this one, in order to create this fiction. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. Sorry for the rant.
No, I mean, you're 100% correct. I mean, we see it in so many places today. I mean, look at the UN. The UN had, I mean, they're beyond hope, I think. But they had a rapporteur on genocide, a woman from, I believe, Nigeria. I forget which country she was from, in Africa. And she refused to call what was going on in Gaza a genocide. And so she got fired.
I think she was from Uganda, if I'm not mistaken.
Uganda, sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so... You know, that's another example, because these people have an agenda. There's a lot of useful idiots out there. And again, we just can look at this throughout history. You know, the whole world, like, again, and another standard refrain of these people is, oh, well, everybody, you know, says it's true, so it must be true. But everyone thought the world was flat, you know,
right,
it wasn't true, you know, and I'm sure. And we look at the times of the plague. Oh, Jews are responsible for the plague. You know, like, there's so many examples of this throughout history. It's this groupthink. There's a nefarious agenda behind it. And unfortunately, very large swaths of academia and the media, unfortunately, have been, I call it a mind virus, have been consumed by this radical agenda. They don't even know what they're doing, you know, and in the process, they're destroying international institutions and Western society, and institutions like the media and academia, all for this. Really what it is, and it's Islamist agenda. And it's quite shocking, and they're too stupid to see it, I guess.
At the end of the day, when you find yourself defending or cheering for the Houthis, or
right,
cheering for the
Hamas,
Iranians and Hamas, then you might have, there might be something wrong with where this is going. The sad reality, though, is that I see an announcement by Belgium last night about not only the recognition of a Palestinian state in late September at the UN, but also sanctions against Israel. It's surely these things that lead to that.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, look, these countries in Europe, you know, they're not in a good place right now. And anyone can see that with their own eyes. But, you know, if the Europeans don't want to save themselves and they think the world will be a better place if they're aligned with Iran and Russia and Hamas and the Houthis, you know, God bless them. I mean, I can't, you know, it's kind of shocking. The one country in the Middle East that preserves any rights for anybody. and has contributed tremendous things to society. You know, if they'd rather side with the people who act like ISIS, you know, and put women in veils and don't let them leave their homes, you know, what can you do? You can't help these people. And they're living in some fantasy that if Israel didn't exist, they would, and there's, you know, Palestinians.
Yes, peace would break out upon the world.
Yeah, exactly. And
right,
there'll be this world utopia. I mean, you know, we've seen where this goes. And unfortunately, I think we're entering, I mean, it's been awful since October 7th, but I think we're entering an even worse and scarier place, because you have people, you know, in the UK, in France, who you would think are intelligent people, acting like, you know, again, we
not
saw it happen in the 1930s, you know, I hate to be so bleak about it, but
no,
unfortunately,
this is what we're seeing all around us. And,
yeah,
you know, you call it a mind virus. I always say that there's a glitch, that somebody could be absolutely rational and brilliant, and you can debate the most lofty things. But when it comes to Israel, or when it comes to Jews, because they won't say it's about Jews, but it is, there's a glitch.
And
it's impossible to point out the reality. So what happens now in terms of, let's say, this particular finding?
Yeah, I mean, or just also one other thing, you don't see any of these actors doing anything to get the hostages out. That's the one thing that would end the war. Get rid of the hostage, get the hostages out, get rid of Hamas. Not one of these actors are doing a darn thing to do anything to that goal, which just proves, again, the agenda. Because if they really cared about ending the war,
Absolutely.
that would be the number one thing on the top of their list, but they're not doing that. Again, what I think is going to happen is we're just going to keep seeing this report now will be cited by all of the NGOs. It's all self-referential because the resolution cites to the NGOs, and then you'll see the NGOs citing to this report, and then you'll start seeing the UN. Oh well, the Association of Genocide Scholars now says it's genocide, and then it's all going to be more self-referential nonsense. And I'm sure some of these countries probably will put sanctions on. But you know what? When the ballistic missiles start hitting their countries, well, don't come crying to us. That's what I say. When they're getting hit with the Russian and Iranian ballistic missiles, well, you know what? You didn't want our technology, so good luck.
And send back your iPhone. Anne
Yeah.
Herzberg, thank you as always. A very robust conversation, but sometimes we need to have those and understand what is going on in the world around us with regard to Israel. Anne Herzberg, thank you. As always, it's 8 o'clock.
That Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.